Great to have you along for Garden Talk. Larry Mealer here. You know, Wisconsin's it's a little too cold to grow tea plants outside, but that doesn't mean we can't grow them inside. And today we're going to talk about growing tea with author and tea expert Christine Parks. Together with her husband, David, she's developed Camellia Forest Tea Gardens in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Her family has worked for decades collecting, propagating, and testing camellia cultivars for hardiness. She was chair of the Tea Committee of the American Camellia Society and a founding member of the U.S. League of Tea Growers. So as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. What have you always wanted to know about growing tea? Now's your chance to ask an expert. You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Christine Parks, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. This is the first time I've talked to anybody in Wisconsin about growing tea.
Well, I tell you what.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well, you know, we haven't grown a lot of tea here in Wisconsin. We haven't grown any. And frankly, I didn't even think of the U.S. as a tea-growing country.
And that's right. Historically, people have no idea that people have been trying to grow tea in the U.S. since colonial times. It grows very well here, just like ornamental camellias in certain parts of the mid-Atlantic eastern states, of the southeast and out west in California, up through Oregon and Washington. So, but I know people growing tea in a lot of different conditions. There are some people who just love growing things and learning new things about plants. Some people love tea and they just want to have a tea plant and get to know what it is, what this plant is that the source of all the wonderful green and black and oolong teas that many of us love. My passion is, I've been learning. I'm on a, lifelong learning journey in tea, but I also love sharing what we're learning and I learn from everybody's questions as well as we go. So I can tell you lots of stories. Your questions, whatever spikes your interest.
We've got callers already online with a question. Joshua in Sun Prairie, let's go to you. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you. So I've been growing indoor plants for a while, and I also really like tea. I was wondering if there's any way I could grow a black tea indoors. Maybe that I could harvest year round. And if I were to grow that, what kind of spices could I blend with it to make like a chai at home?
That's a really good question. Well, first of all, you can make all types of tea from a single type of plant. So there isn't a black tea plant, although there are some that may make better black tea than others or different flavors or aromas. But I wanted to emphasize before we go any further that tea camellias generally are not a happy house plant. They are, they like having a dormant season. A lot of people think they're tropical plants, but they're not really. They do well, they do well in some tropical areas, but those are certain varieties. We grow a few of them where we are, but if you want to really succeed with an indoor-outdoor tea plant, you need to find a cool porch that is not freezing or a little outdoor greenhouse that's not freezing. The tea plants, the leaves themselves, can handle below freezing temperatures, maybe down to 20 or 20, 5 before they start being at risk of any damage, but the roots can't freeze. But if they get too hot, they really don't love the dry, you know, they didn't evolve in a dry climate, so they don't love those comfortable warm winter temperatures that we do. So a lot of people I know who grow tea in pots will bring their plant inside in the winter when it's very cold, or they'll, you know, figure out a high sort of a cool space in the house, put good lights in it, either on a cold porch or something, and then make sure that there's sufficient humidity, because that's the other thing that the tea plant needs to survive. Yeah, but in terms of, you know, so the other lesson to learn, so I think of it as if you're having an indoor tea plant or an indoor-outdoor tea plant, it's a good chance to get to know the plant, but it generally takes about 3 to 5 years of growth. I mean, they're really almost, they're shrubs. They're evergreen shrubs, and they will live for 100 years, but they take, you know, 3 to 5 years to the point where you can even begin harvesting them, because they just need to put on their woody branches, and you need to get more and more branches through pruning to get, because at the end of each branch where you have the new growth, it's that first two leaves and a bud of new growth that you would harvest for tea. And so it takes some tending, and then you can begin harvesting it. And maybe a small handful of those shoots would make a small cup of tea. So over the course of the age and the growing plant, you'll have more and more shoots to harvest. And then you can blend them as you like. I know some people like to blend them with herbs, but for a black tea, I love using citrus, actually. We have a cold hardy citrus here. I don't know that it grows in Wisconsin, but it's called Tonsurus trifoliata, and it's a little bit like the citrus that might make a little bit of an Earl Grey smell. But I love the chai spices and just a little black tea that you make on your own. You can add to that. Although, frankly, homegrown and homemade tea is quite precious all on its own. It is so delicious. It's more, it will give you a sense of what tea can be, because most of what we get in the grocery stores are, you know, it's old. It's been exposed to the elements because it's usually powdered in tea bags. And fresh tea that you've picked yourself. It's a little bit like, you know, a tomato that you've grown in your garden versus the one you get at the grocery store.
Yeah.
It's that different.
Wow.
A lot of people are like, you know, it spoils them. Or it gives them an appreciation, and then they're willing to, you know, maybe I've heard life's too short to waste on bad tea. That's one of the things people will say to me. I've begun drinking fresher homegrown tea, even if it's not the best tea in the world, which, you know, just like wine, there are competitions and wonderful teas made in different countries. The freshness is still really, really special.
So. Yeah, and that's true. And tomatoes and many, many, many other things, as you were talking about, Christine. Joshua, thanks.
Yeah.
Your book, by the way, Growing Your Own Tea, The Complete Guide to Cultivating, Harvesting, and Preparing. The cultivating part of it, I'm not sure that we're going to ever be able to do that here. You do have some, though, information on, I love the history part, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
well, that's where we started. It was supposed to be sort of an ode to this living history of U.S. grown tea that most people don't know about. And then we're like, well, people really also want to know how to grow it, so.
You get through that.
I'll let you finish your question.
No, I was just... I think you also have information on growing it from pots and growing it inside.
Yes, we do. And I'd like to put out more video information on that. I've been putting together little bits of learning materials. When I have like a student intern from the local university will help me put together an educational video. We have some on Patreon and we're releasing little bits into YouTube world, but you know, I'm not a big media feature. I'm just trying to make things accessible to people. So, you know, we grow tea in pots a lot because we ship them to people all over the country, and in fact, sometimes even outside of the country, because it's not that easy to buy a tea plant.
Yeah, and in fact, maybe talk about your business. I think people are interested in it.
Well, it started as a business. My father-in-law was a camellia expert, and my mother-in-law was actually born and grew up in China. And over many years, he had an expansive collection, and she decided that she would start a little nursery making plants available to people because they would often ask. And then my husband and I moved out. After we were married, we moved back to North Carolina from where we were living out west, and the nursery expanded a great deal, and it turned out tea was one of the most popular camellias we sell. So, you know, we propagate plants from seeds. We grow them from cuttings. You know, once we know a plant has certain desirable characteristics, we will make clonal cuttings or cultivars so that we can sell them as, you know, and they will grow maybe a little different in different environments, but usually you know what you're getting. When you get it from seed, you have a lot more diversity, and we like that too. But so we have a large garden where we grow many different tea cultivars and types, and we continue to grow and get more specimens from other sources, other countries. We grow tea from all over the world, basically. Probably the most northern area would be the state of Georgia, or the Republic of Georgia, where the Sochi Winter Olympics were held.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an interesting story because, you know, 100 plus years ago, they were trying to develop tea that would grow in that area, in the Caucasus Mountains. And they came out that they make the plants that we have from that area make a really nice black tea, and they're very cold hardy. So that means that they're less affected by, you know, temperatures below 20 degrees.
Maria in Madison has a comment for us. Let's go there.
Okay. Oh, hi. Hi, Gary. This is so interesting. I never knew it was possible to get answered, or, you know, for you to answer my call. I'm from India, and I was just sharing the thought that in back home in India, the tea is the old-fashioned way of making tea, and we add milk and sugar and cloves and cardamom, and actually, and ginger. And that's what chai is, kind of, you know. And this is so strange that now, after coming to America, tea is any healthy leaves, boil them, and like chamomile or curry leaf, add a pinch of turmeric and add cumin. And I'm learning what tea is now. It's not the old fashioned, what I know as chai tea. I just love to, it's amazing what, how much of this tea has become so popular.
Yeah,
a lot of people drink it for the health benefits. You know, the traditional Camellia sinensis tea, which we think of in black and oolong, sometimes they'll call the herbal things tisanes. You know, the purists are very particular about that. But, you know, that was originally, you know, considered a medicine in ancient China, right? And then they started discovering that it could taste really good, especially if you prepared it nicely. And different cultures prepare that differently. And we're actually planning on making a chai tea for a little celebration this weekend in our tea studio because it's so delicious. And we have some ginger that we grow on site, so we love being able to mix in things that we have in our gardens.
Oh, that's wonderful. Maria.
Take a lot of inspiration from the world of tea around the world. That's part of the learning. And
It was sort of, I think in your, I was reading your history, and it's sort of, it was kind of an interesting story. Who knows if it's actually true about someone in China discovering it to begin with when a leaf fell in his water or something.
Yeah. but really, truly, it's the processing of the leaf which brings out the good flavors. The tea itself, the leaf, has many compounds in it that are meant to protect the young leaves, so you never use the old leaves. But the young leaves have a lot of compounds, these catechins, which are antioxidants. They're also a little bit like a sunscreen for the tea plant. And they also, like the caffeine, is bitter, and it defends against insects. So we don't use a lot of pesticides. In fact, we use no pesticides. But, you know, it's interesting that, you know, if you were to eat a leaf off the plant straight, it would be very bitter and not taste so good. But if you put it just in a pot of water, it wouldn't taste like much of anything until you started drying it one way or the other. So
there you go. Christine Parks, our guest today, and she'll take your questions too at 800-642-1234. Or you could email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Christine Parks, our guest today. She's worked for decades collecting, propagating, and testing camellia cultivars for hardiness and is co-author of the book Grow Your Own Tea, The Complete Guide to Cultivating, Harvesting, and Preparing. And join in. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. You know, a lot of people here, because we can't grow the plant outside, maybe you could describe what a camellia plant looks like and the kind of flowers that it produces, the plant.
Yeah, well, like a traditional ornamental camellia, which is, you know, there's a couple main types, but they have evergreen leaves. They bloom in the fall, winter, and early spring. And some of the blooms are very formal. They look almost like roses. Others look like, I like to call them like waddled up tissue paper flowers.
Yeah. That's a good description.
And the tea plant also flowers. And it flowers in the fall. Now, I wanted to tell you a story before I forget about, you know, I know that enterprising people who want to grow plants indoors often figure out a way. And so do farmers. So we have a customer, long-term customer from Michigan, who had an herb farm. She was a former nurse, and she believed in healing qualities of herbs and teas, and she added Camellia sinensis tea plants to her greenhouses. She planted them in the ground and put a huge double-walled greenhouse over them, and they survived for many years. In fact, she even harvested and sold tea to someone from Japan. And got a lot of, I mean, that was so rare. She got a good rate on that. But unfortunately, I think at some point the greenhouse collapsed due to heavy snow. So, but the point being, you know, I know that where there's a will and ingenuity, there's a way. It's just that it doesn't want to be like your normal tropical house plants. You know, something out in the backyard with a greenhouse, don't let the roots freeze, etc. There's also someone up in Alaska growing tea in a geothermally heated greenhouse. And that's offered up its own challenges because they have those extensive long summer days and the dark nights, so they have to figure out their grow lights and the temperatures and so forth to to make the tea plants happy.
Oh. tea plants require a fair amount of water, do they not?
Well, they do. They like acidic soils. They also like them to be well drained. So here's the kicker, though. They don't want to really dry out for very long, but they don't want to have wet feet. So, you know, we use a mixture of like pine bark and soil with compost. Some people will use peat moss, but you have to be really careful not to let these, let the roots sit in water for too long. So they like regular rain if they're outside. They like regular water throughout the growing season. I know somebody's trying to grow tea in Central California where it doesn't rain in the summer. So they're having to irrigate all summer long because those plants, you know, they need to have continual rain. And they really are, you know, they originated in Southeastern Asia and sort of spread up with the Buddhist traditions up into Japan and Korea. And then they also, unbeknownst to the Westerners who were, they were inventing everything at the time, it was growing in Assam, India. And the British came and they were like, we're going to grow tea here. And they took some of the tea that grew well in cooler climates in China and planted it down in Assam, and it didn't do very well. But that's what's growing up in Darjeeling.
Wow.
Now, those small leaf varieties. And then the larger leaf varieties, you know, make a really lovely, robust black tea. And there have been a lot of crosses over between the two types because they do, you know, they do, sorry, it's after lunch. My brain, the words elude me. They don't cross with themselves. So if you have one tea plant, you're unlikely to ever have a tea seed. But they do cross, and they even cross with ornamental camellias. But the tea from the ornamental camellia never tastes very good at all. So,
what's your advice for buying good quality tea?
You mean tea that's already been processed?
Yeah.
Well, I think you can find either really nice, you know, there may be small tea shops in a town or whatever in your local areas, but then there are a lot of online resources for buying good quality whole leaf tea. You know, one of the places I started with, and I know they've been around forever, is, oh gosh, now I got that word wrong too. I'll send it back to you. You know, Adagio tea is one. I can't really promote specific brands, but there are many, both old and new, that, you know, make it their life's worth bringing in tea to the U.S. And, you know, they'll go and travel and meet the farmers if they're really great companies.
I had a Chinese friend who invited me to a tea, and it was just the two of us. And it was a really nice experience how she prepared it, and we sat and drank the tea. Is there a way to brew a perfect, she had a way to brew a perfect pot of tea. What's your method?
Well, it depends on what tea you're making. Like a green tea, I might use a lower temperature. Mm-hmm. Of water, so not boiling. If you use boiling water on it, you're going to extract it and get some of the bitterness out really quickly. So, you know, a lower temperature. But I like, I love my oolong teas, and I like to brew them at just under boiling, and maybe go for 2 or 3 minutes. And you know, in the world, once you get tea snooty, snobby, whatever, you start, instead of using teaspoons to measure out your whole leaf tea, you might use a scale.
Oh.
And weigh out. But what is the perfect cup of tea? It's what you like.
Yeah.
So it's what you like the best, you know. And there are certain books, there are lots of books about how to brew tea, and I think we probably put a little bit of guidelines in our book as well. But there's a lot of books about whole leaf tea and all sorts of things.
Christina, it's been a real pleasure. I hope we can do this again. Thank you so much for being with us today. Christine Parks, she and her husband David developed Camellia Forest Tea Gardens in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and their book is Grow Your Own Tea, The Complete Guide to Cultivating, Harvesting, and Preparing. Great to have her with us today. Great to have our team here as well, to recognize them, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud, our producers, technical directors Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, our executive producer Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller, and thank you for listening to Garden Talk here on WPR News.